Join me in the first chapter of Zechariah, next to the last book of the Old Testament. I'll be reading the latter half of chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Hear the inspired, the inerrant, holy word of our Lord. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month of Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, son of Iddo, saying, I saw in the night, and behold, a man riding on a red horse. He was standing among the myrtle trees in the glen, and behind him were red sorrel and white horses. Then I said, What are these, my Lord? The angel who talked with me said to me, I will show you what they are. So the man who was standing among the myrtle trees answered, These are they whom the Lord has sent to patrol the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord who was standing among the myrtle trees and said, We have patrolled the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest. Then the angel of the Lord said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, against which you have been angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered, Gracious and comforting words to the angel who talked with me. So the angel who talked with me said to me, Cry out, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion. I am exceedingly angry with the nations that are at ease. For while I was angry but a little, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and the measuring line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Cry out again, thus says the Lord of hosts. My cities shall again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. And I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, What are these? And he said to me, These are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen. And I said, What are these coming to do? He said, These are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one raised his head. And these have come to terrify them, to cast down the horns of the nations, who lifted up their horns against the land of Judah to scatter it. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah through a vision. Now, this is one of the many ways the Old Testament had of communicating God's word to his people through visions. There were many others. I will remind you, as I spoke of last week, this is apocalyptic writing, and so these are symbolic in nature. What we see here in this passage is a man sitting on a red horse, with other horses gathered around behind him. They are standing among myrtle trees in a glen, or I think it would be more apt to say a deep ravine. Glen seems a bit soft, but it is a hollowed out, a deep place. And these on the horses have come from patrolling the earth, and the angel of the Lord present said, What are these? Well, indeed, what are these? What are these? Well, it is believed by many conservative scholars that this scene being depicted by this gentleman on the horse in the ravine, it being at night, this is portraying that time of discipline and captivity that Israel has just come from out of Babylon. It is dark. This vision is at night. It's a dark time in Israel's history. It's a time where they are not on the rolling hills of the promised land, but they are in a deep, dark ravine, overshadowed by its hills, overshadowed, if you will, from the very viewing and presence of God. The horsemen portray an idea of strength, a military-type patrolling. Remember, the Persian army just overwhelmed, some years previous to this, overwhelmed the Israelites, but as they would travel about the land, most of those Persian armies traveled by horseback. And so the horse was seen as a figure of strength, but also authority. And so here, this gentleman riding a horse is seen as that place of strength, an individual of power, of governing, of controlling and patrolling as they are given to do. And there were four of them. Again, the number four, we've heard this phrase before, the four corners of the earth, the four winds. And so it represents to us that these horsemen have been out patrolling the entire realm of God's creation. From the four corners of the earth, they have now returned to give their report to what they have seen. And what did they see? Verse 11. It says, "We have returned from patrolling the earth, and behold, all the earth remains at rest." Now, we might first take that as a positive term, the earth being at rest. Is that not a good thing? Well, not at this point in time. This is not a positive statement. The rest the nations are feeling is a type of comfort, meaning they are not threatened by anyone. They are these that have attacked God's people. They have now withdrawn back into their cities, within their castles, and they're quite comfortable in the disaster that they have brought upon the nation of Israel. Rather than being at rest, they should be concerned of retaliation, of the work of God that is about to soon come upon them. And so this idea of them being at rest just simply means they are comfortable in their sin. Remember that phrase, comfortable in our sin. The angel of the Lord asks in verse 12, "O Lord of hosts, how long will you have no mercy on Jerusalem and the cities of Judah against which you have been angry these 70 years? Meaning, how long will you let these nations overwhelm Israel and your punishment extend to the nation for their disobedience? How long will it be before we see your mercy coming upon your people?" And then he responds in verse 13 with gracious and comforting words. And this is what I've entitled the sermon. You see, the Lord God did see his people. Yes, he carried them off into Babylon for their discipline, but now he hears their cries. And he hears their angst and anxiety of being at the very disposal of the nations that surrounds them. He hears them. Much like the Lord God did, hearing the cries of his nation when they were in captivity in Egypt. In Exodus we read, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, and I am aware of their sufferings." Here in Zechariah's time we see similar things. The nation has been overwhelmed by its enemies. They have been taken into captivity and taken into bondage. And so they're crying out, "Oh Lord, how long? How long before you bring mercy to us and overwhelm our enemies?" With the report of the horsemen, the Lord is fully aware of the situation, and he's going to respond, as we will see in coming chapters, of judgment towards these nations. But more importantly, as we see here, gracious and comforting words to his people. You see, this is a great portrayal of our God. This action here is a great portrayal, and it reveals to us the character and nature of God. His justice must be served. There must be punishment for sin. Sin has consequence. We cannot just wipe away sin and say, "Oh, don't worry about it," because it is such an assault and an affront to a holy God. And he must respond out of his nature and his character to pay or to bring a penalty for that sin. But there is also, we see here, the grace and the mercy. He said, "I was only angry with my people for a little while, but the nations carried it too far in their punishment. And so I hear your cries, I hear your words," and he is returning. He is returning to Israel. There is sin. There was sin from the Israelites of their rebellion. There was the exile in Babylon was the punishment for sin. But here, listen to these words in verse 17. "Cry out again, thus says the Lord of hosts, my city shall again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion," that holy hill in the center of Jerusalem, that holy place that is recognized as God's place. He will once again comfort that, those people, and he will once again choose Jerusalem as his people. It might be better said, he will again recognize his chosen people, Jerusalem, And the nations will come to know that these are the people of God by His actions. By His actions. The cities shall once again be comforted. And then we move to the second vision. The second vision, verse 18. And I lifted my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these?" Again, the apocalyptic type language. Typically, when the phrase horns, four horns, horns is used, we see energy, strength, power, force. These horns here are representing the force of the enemy armies that have come against Israel. And then craftsmen are sent to fight against these nations. Craftsmen. Why would God send... Now, I have great respect for craftsmen. We've got some wonderful craftsmen in this room, carpenters and masons and masonries and all, but to be an army to fight an enemy? Why craftsmen? The simple tradesman. Your translation may actually have carpenter here instead of craftsman. Why use what is perceived to be a weaker defense against such a strong enemy? But see, here is the key. Again, it gives us indication and clue of God's character and nature and also the conduct of His ministry. Why carpenters? Why simple tradesmen? Why simple people to fight an enemy? Well, the answer, we go back up to verse 15. We start dissecting our answer. Notice in verse 15 it says, "I am exceedingly angry with the nations." I am exceedingly angry. Verse 16, "Therefore says the Lord, I have returned to Jerusalem." It is God who is angry with His enemy. It is God who has returned to Jerusalem. The carpenters, using their skills and trades, have been building the temple, have been building the walls around Jerusalem. And now they are going to fight against that foe, not with sword, by simple obedience to the Word of God and doing what they were called to do. We read in Nehemiah where he is rebuilding the wall with a sword in his hand because he did have to fight off the enemy. But who is it fighting the enemy? It is God. It is God using simple men and women to fight the enemy. Yes, God could call, as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, He could call legions of angels to His rescue. But He did not. Because He knew the cross was His and the ministry of His word had to go out. And what did He use to share that word? Simple fishermen, a tax collector. See, here's the key to this passage. God's people will be attacked. God's church will be attacked. And there will be discipline for our sin, but there will also be grace and mercy for God's people. Gracious and comforting words given by God. Common men and women going out and doing the ministry. Common men and women to do the ministry. And see, this is key for us today. As I said, the prophecy of this word is for the Israelites of their day, but then we bring it to the prophecy for our day. No, we are not the nation of Israel. But we are the people of God. And we are His church. And just like these attack God's people of this day, is the church not under attack from every corner today? At every turn, the church is being defamed. The church is being assaulted. God's people are being ostracized, minimized in culture. So the word by Zechariah given to the people of Israel of this day is the same word given to us. God will come. He will fight the enemy. He will defend His people. Now, He may and does use you and I. But it will be us who share the gospel. It will be us who stands against the enemy. It will be us who knowing and living out the word of God, will the nations will see and see that God's people, even though they're so downtrodden, they are resilient and returning in a greater fervor. Let me ask you a question. Where in the world, and we've asked this several times, where in the world today is the church growing the strongest and the fastest? It is not in the United States. The United States church is failing. It's in Korea. It's in the Sudan. It's in the Central Africa. It's in China. You will never hear these news reports, but in Pakistan, Turkey, other places in the Middle East, Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior in droves. But you will never hear that. You will never hear that on the news. Because God will defend His church. And God will grow His church even in the most trying, hard times. God will come, and He will defeat His enemy, and the church will stand. Turn with me to Revelation 19, if you please. Remember the individual riding on a horse, the angel of the Lord giving the message. The angel, the messenger of God, that horse being a symbol of power and strength and authority. That was a vision given to Zechariah of Israel's future. But here a vision given to the Apostle John of a future. Chapter 19, verse 1, after this I heard what seemed to be... No, excuse me, I want to start at verse 11. Got carried away. Verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written on that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword and with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly directly overhead, Come gather for the great supper of God to eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all men, both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it is the false prophet, who is in its presence, had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur, and the rest were slain by the sword that came from the mouth of him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with his flesh. Again, apocalyptic language, but the symbology of a story, the symbology of the end of time, when the great Satan and his Antichrist and the beast, which are the nations of the world, will be defeated for all time. Because you see, just like Zechariah and the people of Israel of that day, we are building temples. We are conducting the ministry of God, and we will be under attack. But please know it is God who is fighting the war. It is God who is defending His people. It is God who will fight this battle in Jesus Christ and will defeat that foe. And just as Zechariah spoke gracious and comforting words to the people of that day, Jesus Christ has spoken great words of comfort and grace to us. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Meaning all authority is our Lord's. Go out into the ministry, you common people. The carpenters. The school teachers, the moms, the dads, the grandmothers, the business owners, the laborers. Go. Baptize them. Teach them. And the final sentence, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. We may be building this church with a sword in our hand, but God will build His church. Amen. Amen.